This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. We hit the NCAA tournament and the Rockets in the open. We'll get to the Astros and the decisions they've got to make at the top of the hour. This should be a really interesting couple of days if you're an Astros fan as they settle on a roster to head into the season with opening days on Thursday this week, man. Baseball is here. It's a good time to be alive, dude.
Yeah, well, and the right field. We'll talk about right field a lot and whether it's going to be Cam Smith. And, you know, Zach DiZenzo has kind of quietly been having a really good spring training. I know, but like because of all the hubbub over Cam Smith, I feel like DiZenzo would have been the story because of the questions in right field.
But
Cam Robinson with the Texans is who he teased. And Cam Robinson, I went back and I just kind of spent some time watching him more than I had when he was initially signed. I am, like we've heard Clint say in the promo, I'm feeling better and better about the fact that, okay, all right, like the dust is settled and you have a viable starting caliber left tackle on this offensive line. And like many offensive lines in the league, where you can get a really good performance without having it replete with absolute studs all over the place. You just got to have viable starters. Robinson, in a lot of ways, is kind of a muted version of what Laremy Tunsil was, which I know doesn't excite a whole lot of people, but remember this.
I'm going to need more.
Yeah. He doesn't cost $20 million per year.
That's a good start. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
I like
That's the big key is it's a one-year up to $14 million contract, very much a prove-it deal. But he's a guy that in Jacksonville, I think in the minds of Jaguars fans, it's probably a lot how we are with Titus Howard, where Titus Howard is just fine as a tackle. The problem is, it feels like he's never really lived up to his potential. Like, he's fine. You can have him as a starting right tackle on any offensive line in the league, and he's not going to be the problem. It's just that you feel like you're not quite getting everything out of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cam Robinson has probably been that same way in Jacksonville. He is very impressive at times in pass protection. He uses, just like Laremy Tunsil, uses his hands really well. He's got really long arms and he uses them. Like, he'll reach out and just jolt guys and stop them dead in their tracks. His weakness is, and where he's not as good of a pass protector as Laremy Tunsil is, guys can get into him with power a little bit and bulldoze him some. That's when Will Anderson played him last year, there were times where Will just got frozen in the Han Solo stuff. What is that?
Carbonite.
Yeah. Frozen in carbonite at times. But there was, because Cam Robinson just reached out and snatched him. There are other times where Will Anderson was able to get on an edge and kind of just get up underneath Cam Robinson's pads and get him on skates back into the quarterback. So, but very passable pass protector and with really good hands. The thing is that just like Laremy Tunsil, he's not much of a run blocker. And what I'm trying to be generous with right this moment is that I think a lot of times when Laremy Tunsil wasn't a good run blocker, it always felt like, I don't know if Laremy Tunsil just gives a single damn
right.
About
does
run
he
blocking.
Care about
yeah.
it? Exactly. Yeah.
Because he did not use his athleticism and his natural strength as well as he could have as a run blocker. I think with Robinson, it's just that he lacks strength at times, both in pass protection, like when he's given up those bull rushes, but also in the run game. I just don't think he has the lower body strength or the core strength to really tie it all together. And you'll see guys like Will had a couple really nice plays where he stood him up and made a play.
Mm-hmm.
But he shows a willingness on combo blocks and double teams and things. Like, he keeps his legs churning and driving, he'll pivot his hips around to get in the right position to where at least he's not completely losing the down. It's just, I don't, you know, he's going into his ninth year in his career. Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily something that's going to change. It's not like all of a sudden he's going to go through a second puberty and get stronger,
right,
or anything like that. But for the price tag and the contract, I think it's a really good prove-it deal for him. And I don't worry about him the way I would worry about a lot of other guys that might start at left tackle.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if he didn't have those flaws you're talking about, he's not available for 1 year, $12 million.
Right. You know, yeah, he'd be making $20 million a year somewhere.
He wouldn't be on the Texans, yeah.
Yeah, and he also, you know, and he's had some nagging injuries and whatnot, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So overall, compared to how you felt the day the signing was announced,
yeah.
Do you feel better after doing your film study on him? Do you feel better, worse, or about the same as?
I feel better. I feel better. I think initially my thought was, all right, yeah, there's still going to be competition at hopefully every spot on the offensive line. Right now, unless a rookie comes in and really overperforms or something, I'm guessing on day one, Cam Robinson's going to be the starter. The big wild card would be, all right, what do they think of Blake Fisher? Yeah. Are they looking at him right now as a swing tackle, or do they want Titus Howard to start at left guard and maybe move Laken Tomlinson over to right? And he hasn't played right guard at all in his career. I don't think he's taken a single snap at right guard. I think the most likely scenario is Titus Howard at right tackle, Cam Robinson at left tackle, that probably Tomlinson at left guard, and you've got Blake Fisher still continuing to learn and progress and be the swing tackle.
Well, that's interesting. The Blake Fisher part of that, he's a second-round pick, and second-round picks aren't a lock to become Pro Bowlers or even starters or anything. First-round picks aren't a lock to become starters. But on a team like this, where there's been so much, all of a sudden, so much churn at tackle.
Yeah.
You know, it was Laramie Tunsil etched in ink, Titus Howard in ink, and then you see what happens with Blake Fisher. You now have a scenario where Blake Fisher was actually starting at the end of the year last year for this team because the offensive line needed that shuffling to accommodate the interior of the offensive line. I wonder how that makes people feel about Blake Fisher as a draft pick if he hasn't been able to... If indeed week one is what you just laid out with Howard at right tackle and Robinson at left tackle, and Blake Fisher hasn't been able to crack that code.
Yeah, I think the whole thing about Blake Fisher was that it goes into that old dynamic that I always find entertaining, except when it's my own team, which is everybody acknowledges that a guy's a little bit of a project, but then as soon as you see that he's a project, you're irate that he's a project.
Yeah.
You know, like Blake Fisher, the common thought and thing said about him on draft night was, wow, this is a guy that you get in the second round. Maybe if he stayed at Notre Dame one more year, he would have been a first rounder.
Yeah.
But he just needs to fill out a little bit, learn how to play as a lankier guy, all that stuff. And I thought last year when he had opportunities to play, he very much showed the upside. But then he also showed the side of him that's a rookie, that needed more playing time, that maybe needs some physical maturation.
Yeah.
And with offensive linemen, more so than any other position, the physical maturation is a real thing. You see guys kind of transition from being overgrown adolescents to full-grown men.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in the first puberty. There's a first puberty, and then there's an O-line NFL puberty.
Right.
In your first puberty, think about the kids you know that were like, they had a huge growth spurt, and all of a sudden they're kind of like all over the place. They're like one of those inflatable,
promotional
guys out in front of a tire store.
Yeah.
They're or a car dealership. They got to learn how to use all that mass and all that length. And I think Blake Fisher's still a little bit in that stage. So if you say, well, okay, Blake Fisher doesn't start over two guys who are established NFL veteran offensive tackles, I don't worry about Blake Fisher at all. I think and especially when one of those tackles is on a one-year deal.
True.
That I think that gives the Texans, if they don't draft an offensive tackle, you know, time to kind of figure it out. Blake Fisher at some point will start when one of those guys almost inevitably gets injured.
It's hurt, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm cool with that part of it.
Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Didn't the Texans sign Trent Brown? They did. They did. Friday, yes.
Yeah, Trent Brown, this is why I'm not factoring Trent Brown into the equation. Trent Brown got a one-year, $2 million deal, $3 million deal.
Yeah.
He's coming off a torn patellar tendon. He is... got to be 30-something years old because he's been in the league.
He came in 2015. He was a seventh-round pick of the Niners in 2015.
So he's probably 31 or 32 years old. But he's 6'7", 6'8", 360 or 70 pounds. Has had some good, solid play in his career, but he's one of these guys. He's kind of like the offensive line version of Mercedes Lewis, the tight end. We'll have one really good year, and then the next year you're like, what's going on with this guy? And a lot of it's due to injuries, I think.
Yeah.
So the prognosis for a patellar tendon tear is a lot like it used to be for Achilles tendon tears. Mm-hmm. It's still really dicey, and especially for a guy who's in his 30s, I think they're very much looking at him as, hey, let's bring him in. They're probably planning on starting him on the PUP and just see what we get out of him. But I wouldn't factor him into any kind of opening day roster or opening day lineup, at least.
Remember when he was in 2019, he was one of the marquee free agents back then, because that was a big deal, because that was the offseason where the Texans were coming off of a season where they started Julion Davenport at left tackle for a big chunk of that year. You know, they had traded Dwayne Brown. And I remember Trent Brown's free agency like it was yesterday, because there were a lot of Texan fans clamoring for the Texans to sign Trent Brown. And he signed a huge deal with the Raiders, and actually was pretty good with the Raiders for a year or two. He made a Pro Bowl with the Raiders. He was a decent signing for them. But he was the belle of the ball about 5 or 6 years ago.
No, I think he's got experience with Kaley, with Popovich, and with Nick Caserio. So this is a classic aging veteran, probably under, you know, Popovich knows that younger guys can probably lean on him. Trent Brown will pick up the scheme, but he's a huge question mark because of his injury status right now.
Yeah, he's probably good to have
in the meeting rooms at the very least now.
Yeah, he feels like a body who's there for the off the field stuff. Maybe even more than the on-the-field stuff.
With potential upside.
Yes.
A little bit like a Cam Akers. He's like a much, much larger... He's like three Cam Akers.
He is. He ate Cam Akers.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I am. And I think that the goal of going into the draft without being overly desperate in any one position, I think that part of the process has been completed on the offensive and defensive line side of the ball. If you look at the defensive line, all right, you get Sheldon Rankins back in the building. You feel encouraged about Tim Settle and some of the things he did last year. They bring Mario Edwards back. On the offensive side of the ball, you've signed a couple of veteran guards that aren't huge headline signings. And you bring in Cam Robinson at left tackle. There's not as much of a glaring desperation to get a young guy in who himself would have been a coin flip whether he's any good or not either.
Yeah.
So the old saying is desperation is a horrible judge of talent because you start grasping and reaching. I think that right now it puts you in a better position to take closer to the best player available in the draft. Maybe it's best offensive lineman available at 25. And I think that it's hard to find a mock draft where you don't see at least a few really intriguing offensive linemen at pick 25.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones there at 25. I think for me, I don't know, man. I feel like a weapon at wide receiver for this season, not for the long term. If you're drafting for the long term, they could use a lot of things. But for this season, I feel like that wide receiver, I'll call it wide receiver too, like the outside wide receiver opposite Nico Collins is a bigger need now than anything. The offensive line, they've put a bunch of guys in that room that I think you can find five that if well coached, which is a caveat you bring up repeatedly, appropriately so, if well coached, they can be an average offensive line, which is all I'm looking for this year, is be average. Just be better than what you were last year. If you're significantly better than what you were last year, you're an average offensive line.
Well, and they can be a better than average line just with the guys they have. Yep. If you look at various teams like the Bucs, one of our listeners brought up the Rams. I thought that was a good example last year. Really, the Ravens, too. Every year there's teams that overperform based on what you think of these guys moving into it, and a lot of it just comes down to the scheme and how well they're coached at the positional level and everything else. I have to admit one thing too, because I thought back on Friday's show, Sean.
Yeah.
I did it for an entire segment in my mind. Yeah. I swapped out the two new guards, Ed Ingram and Laken Tomlinson.
I can't wait to hear this. Okay.
So Ed Ingram comes via Minnesota.
Right.
Lakin Tomlinson comes via Seattle, and before that, the Jets and the 49ers.
Yep.
I keep, whenever I say Lakin Tomlinson, I think the lakes of Minnesota, the land of a thousand lakes. And immediately in my mind, Lakin Tomlinson is Ed Ingram. And so you really got to check me every time we start talking about the guards.
They're very different guys. Yeah, yeah.
I need to purify myself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka before I can get this thing right.
That's wild.
Remember that dirty trick that Prince played?
Remember?
Purple Rain?
Yeah,
he said first you have to purify yourselves in the lakes of Minnetonka. Lake Minnetonka. Purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
I've only seen Purple Rain once. It was back when it was in theaters in 1984, but I've probably listened to that album no fewer than 1,000 times.
Well, let me remind you of this dirty little prank that Prince played.
Yeah.
He said something to this woman that he was wooing about how, you know, first you have to pass the initiation rites. One of the things is you have to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah.
So at the time, this woman's standing at the edge of a lake.
Mm-hmm.
So she strips down and jumps in the lake.
Mm.
And she comes out, and he says, "That's not Lake Minnetonka."
Ah!
Yeah. Prince, messed up, bro.
You dirty
little
dog. He did
say, to Prince's credit, before she went in, he said, wait. Yeah.
And then
he knew what he was doing.
She jumped in anyways.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember that. Was that Apollonia that jumped in? Was that who he was trying to?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't know. I watched the clip this morning. I only remember it because I watched the clip this morning.
Yeah. I started watching Stranger Things this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You'll understand all these references to the Upside Down and everything.
Yes, to the Upside Down. Yeah, I'm 5 episodes in. So the Upside Down is a big deal right now. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you, since we're on this, you know what I watched on Netflix yesterday? Oh, dang it. It's, I'll tell you, it was really good. It was The Harder They Fall.
Ooh.
It's a Western.
Okay.
It's really good.
Is it a series?
No, it's a movie.
It's a movie. Okay.
Yeah. And it starts off feeling a little bit, at first I thought it was a Tarantino film. There's elements to it.
Yeah.
But then it's almost like a modernized spaghetti western.
Okay.
It's really good. There's
The Harder They Fall.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put it on the list.
Couple very violent scenes. A couple times Brandy had to have me. When it gets super violent, I have to mute it and tell Brandy when it's over.
Oh, she doesn't
like
that.
And I watch
that,
on subtitles. Yeah.
Okay.
She has a hard time with extreme violence.
Yeah. I'm with her on that. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to headlines. We'll get to the Astros deep at the top of the hour. We'll dig into what Dana Brown and Joe Espada need to decide here. But we got a lot of headlines. Rockets, college basketball. We mentioned the Texans. Legend passes away over the weekend as well. We'll get to all that coming up next.